Worship this morning will be Mr. B.D. Giles, who's a graduate student in Christian Ethics here at Southeastern. Our Father, we have come to this hour of worship this morning not because we had to, but because we could come. Not because we wanted to bear witness to our own righteousness, but because of our love for the God we have come to know in the person of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we have come not because of our own strength, but because of our frailty. We have come this morning not because we have in any kind of way or deserve thy love and thy grace, but our Father, we have come to this hour of worship this morning because we have found ourselves constantly in need of thy mercy and of thy help. Our Father, we have come to this hour of worship not to express an opinion, but, O God, to seek a presence and to pray for a spirit. Our Father, we pray that our lives shall ever be characterized by a willingness and a receptivity to the truth of God as we understand it in our own relationship with and experience with thee. Grant us insight into the understanding of human personality, to the understanding of our own selves, and then somehow the ability to relate the truth of God as we have come to understand it to our own needs as well as to the needs of others. We pray that we shall be unusually sensitive to thy leadership and to human life in need. Visit us in these moments.
Quite often I have had students to ask me, how do you like this place? How do you like this school? How do you like the fellowship here in the seminary? And often I have had professors here to ask me the same question. To be perfectly frank and to tell the truth, I really like the fellowship here on the campus. And in fact, if it were not for the fact that my wife has to work in order that I may or might be here, I think too she would be here in this great fellowship. I want to say with earnesty that I truly think that this is a campus with the living spirit of Jesus Christ on it. Let me say, for fear that I be misunderstood later on, I know of no other place that I would rather be that is an institution of learning over and against this school. This is the very first time I have been made to really feel like somebody, like an American. But I think we need to raise the horizon of our vision a bit. For as we look at this campus represents only a thimbleful of America. When one walks out of the gates of this school, he finds altogether a different atmosphere. And those of us who know Christ must not be satisfied until the atmosphere in this school and on this campus radiates throughout our own America. And with that in mind, there is a word that comes to us from Amos, the 2nd chapter, and the 11th verse. Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of his Lord? We understand that America today and the world at large is caught in the throes of every conceivable unrest. Humanity seethes and surges with fear, unrest, and revolution. A sense of injustice burns in the hearts of the depressed and the underdeveloped peoples of the world. For the past few years, our nation has been a boiling pot of racial tension and strife. We continue to have sit-ins, wade-ins, walk-ins, wait-ins, and even kneel-ins. But on the other hand, we continue to this date to have economic deprivations, threats, cross burnings, church burnings, bombing, wanton murder, and almost every conceivable atrocity committed against the human race. These things are but indications that something is basically wrong with mankind. Dr. Roy O. McLean has a unique way of stating this truth when he says, mankind does not need, or rather, mankind does not need salve, but surgery. His case is not a mild infection, but a fatal malignancy. As we stand in the midst of world tension and national upheavals, not be the voices of those crying, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? A right to do that which is right. Prophet who will stand in the gateways of the powers that be and declare, thus saith the Lord. Our age needs prophets who will face modern-day Herods and proclaim the fact that the truth needs no affinity to that which is wrong. Our need is for prophets who will speak to David, saying, thou art the man. Prophets who indeed will go to the Patmos Isle of ostracism for bearing the testimony of our risen Savior. Brethren, you and I are intended to be prophets for God, 20th century prophets. We are the ones who are responsible under God to show our people the more excellent way of life. Recently, one of the largest denominations in America held its setting and closed without one word being said about the dichotomous situation here in America in race relations. Yes, it is to be regretted that a missionary couple will steal or will cheat on the examination in order that they may pass and go to the foreign field. May God have mercy upon such a spirit. But isn't it more disheartening to think that we dump hundreds of thousands into foreign missions and send thousands of workers to mission fields around the world in order to proclaim the love of God? Yet we at home short-circuit by our ways and actions that which we send others abroad to do. Last year, as I studied here, I became ill. And as I visited the seminary physician, he told me to go to Winston-Salem over at the Baptist Hospital. And as I talked with some of the professors here and some of those who were serving in administrative capacities, they too assured me that if I would go to the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem, there I would be treated with utmost courtesy and I would be served with love and care. I did that. I packed my bags. I headed to Winston-Salem for a sick man, a man who needs care. I did not go to Winston-Salem as a charity patient. I was willing to pay my way. But upon my arrival, I was told that we cannot accept you. You must go elsewhere for service. Here is the situation, if you please, where we dump thousands and thousands of dollars into missionary programs, sending missionaries around the world. And yet, within our own doors, we turn around those who need service. When I was turned around over in Winston-Salem, I felt much like the great fisherman. It is said that there was a fisherman who would always curse, particularly when it seems as if he was getting no bites. One day he was down on the river fishing and his minister came down and sat close to him. There he was there fishing and cursing and fishing and cursing. So that finally his minister could not stand it any longer and he said to him, "Brother, possibly your luck would be better if you did not curse so much. I would not carry on like that if I were you." This fisherman decided to take his word. He stopped cursing. Within a few minutes, something came up and grabbed his reel, and his reel started screaming, and he reached for it, and as he began to wind it in and wrestle with the thing on the other end, and as he raised his hook upwards, he saw the nose of a large fish. But the fish whirled and back off into the water he went. This man looked over at the preacher and said, "Reverend, something needs to be said now." When I was over in Winston-Salem and was turned around, I said, "Something needs to be said." Eugene Patterson, in his editorial of Flower for the Grave, wrote a burning commentary on our age, said he, "We watch the stage set without saying it. We listen to the prologue undisturbed. We saw the curtains opening with disinterest. We heard the play. Is it not a source of embarrassment that a man sitting at the head of a nation who represent, according to tradition, secular affairs, must call in the prophets to ask them to pour oil on the troubled waters?" Brethren, this seems to me a strange contradiction in our culture. This seems to me a strange situation that only you and I can speak with the ring of authority. Thus saith the Lord. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord through whom we can inquire of the Lord? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? I can hear in my mind the words of Amos as he says, "God has a controversy with thee." Could it not be that as we gather on a Sunday morning and sing the songs of Zion, could it not be as we stand in the Holy of Holies and send our voices upward toward heaven, could not God be saying to us in the language of Amos as he says, I despise your feast days. I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear the voice of thy vows. Could it not be that as God looks down upon us each Sunday morning as we stand in the midst of air-conditioned churches, and as we hear the music as it exudes from the organ, could not God be saying to us, "Take thou away from me the noise of your songs, I will not hear them. With your mouth you have said one thing, but in your heart another. My people will honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Is there not a balm in Gilead? Is there not a physician there? Yes, there is answer to these cries. When one talks with the prophet Michael, he is heard saying, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" We must not stop here in our search for the answers to these cries. Talk with Amos again, and he too will tell us, "Let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream." But the story still is not completed, for there is a word from the Father of all mankind, a promising word, a word of hope. God says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will heal
therein. O gracious God, our Heavenly Father, may we not back into our Christian commitment, but may we face them head on. Create within us an awareness that we must not say one thing with our mouth and with our heart another. Lay the burden of brotherhood and of fellowship upon each one of our hearts. And may we not be satisfied with the degree of fellowship here on our campus, but may we carry it back to our respective communities, live it and preach it each Sunday morning. These and all other blessings we ask in the name of Jesus.